It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
So everybody's taking the same angle on the big story of the day, which is Putin giving a big speech last night, railing against the West for providing Ukraine with weapons, making a nuclear threat, saying he's calling up 300,000 new troops. And all the headlines or commentary reflects the fact that it's, well, I'll give you the headline from the New York Times. Mobilization comes after humiliating losses in Ukraine. Everybody's taking the same angle. He got his ass kicked over the last couple of weeks, like really bad. And he's got no choice. He's either gonna make some sort of weird declaration of victory and pull out, or he's gonna double down. And he's apparently decided to go with the latter.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I would love to see him utilize some sort of off ramp, but does not appear to be in the offing. Michael, clip 50, if you'd be so kind. This is Russian TV reporting the news.
This is not a bluff. The citizens of Russia can be sure that the territorial integrity of our homeland, our independence, and freedom will be ensured. And those who try to blackmail us with nuclear weapons should know that the prevailing winds can turn in their direction.
Absolutely nobody but you has brought up using nuclear weapons, Vlad. But yeah, you don't have to tell the truth when you're a dictator.
Says the New York Times, Putin stopped short of declaring a full national draft, but instead called for a partial mobilization of people with military experience. Yeah, I've seen the videos of you going into prisons and trying to get just random criminals to join your military, so I don't know about the whole military experience thing. Though Moscow's troops have recently suffered humiliating losses on the battlefield, Putin said that Russia's goals in Ukraine have not changed, and that the move was necessary and urgent because the West has crossed all lines by providing sophisticated weapons to Ukraine. This is the desperation of a cornered beast who is fighting for its life. And if you've ever been cornered and fighting for your life, either kind of rhetorically or for real, you don't think straight.
No, indeed. A couple of angles. Number one, the Pooter did say in terms of goals, because, you know, often this speech is about we will protect the integrity of the Russia, blah, blah, blah. Nobody's threatening it. But he said a couple of days ago, our main goal, of course, is taking that Donbass region. You know, maybe that's the off-ramp. You carve him off a little of that and let him say he won. But getting back to the nuclear threat thing, he said, to those who allow themselves such statements regarding Russia, I want to remind you that our country also has various means of destruction, and for separate components and more modern than those of NATO countries. And when the territorial integrity of our country is threatened to protect Russia and our people, we will certainly use all the means at our disposal. It's not a bluff. Now, if he were a rational and reasonably straightforward fellow, you might interpret that as saying, look, I realize it's on and we're in a big old fight here, but if any is so much as makes a noise about taking any Russian territory, we're going to nuke you. Which I think would be fine because NATO, and I liked your NATO discussion of last hour, but NATO has no desire whatsoever to take any Russian territory.
No.
Nor does Ukraine, for that matter.
No, and we failed to talk yesterday about the big announcement that several of those regions that have a lot of Russian population there in Ukraine, although they are Ukrainians, they're of Russian origin, their families, they speak Russian, a lot of these places. Donetsk, Luhansk, Kherson, all these names that we didn't know before this war started, those regions are going to hold referenda, probably phony, votes to join Russia. Starting here in a couple of days, according to official statements out of Moscow. So they're going to have a big vote and then claim that these places voted to join Russia, so they are now part of Russia. The UN has declared that illegal. Zelensky said it's illegal and fanciful. But that's the plan right now, so I think those things go together. That was announced earlier yesterday. Then he gives a speech last night threatening nuclear war, blah, blah, blah.
So Zelensky's saying stop the steal. You know, that probably didn't help. So this is interesting to me. The fear of that wider mobilization of Russian forces, Russian military conscripting reservist civilians and old guys who have some experience, etc. It's reportedly caused a mass exodus of young men fleeing Russia since the announcement. Flights from Russia to countries that do not require visas were completely booked Wednesday, according to the Telegraph UK. In a fashion that they normally are not.
So you commented several times that there's no interest in NATO taking any Russian territory or attacking it, but some analysts believe this is the game. If you put those two announcements yesterday together, they're going to have the vote in those regions. It's going to be phony. They're going to announce that the people of Luhansk or wherever these regions voted and they're now part of Russia. Then, as Ukraine with NATO weapons is fighting in those regions that Putin says is part of Russia, he gets to declare you are attacking Russia. From the New York Times, pro-Kremlin analysts and officials have said that at that point that he has those votes, any further Ukrainian military action on those territories could be considered an attack on Russia itself.
And Putin then he nukes them. Good
Putin
Lord.
Putin didn't spell that out, but warned that he was ready to use all of weapons in Russia's arsenal to protect Russian territory. And he's going to call that Russian territory. So that's
now,
the
that,
game.
That had escaped me. Great
yeah.
Scott.
That's what the game is. So he's expand. It's kind of like the way China has done with those islands. This is part of China now. He's going to call that part of Russia. And hey, you've just attacked Russia. We have no choice.
Wow. Wow.
And
too spicy.
Joe Biden, I think this hour, is addressing the UN, and I'm sure hurriedly changing his speech, or his speechwriters are, in light of Vlad's announcements. And I hope Biden's having a good day in terms of his ability to give a speech, because a good, powerful speech would be nice.
Well, perhaps he's getting Trump's big old shot in the hiney.
They gave him a big fat shot in the ass. And
that's the one. I spoke with the president earlier, Jack, and I'm told that Biden will condemn Putin's naked aggression and make the case that that Russia has violated the UN's core tenets. Quote, according to Jake Sullivan, he'll offer a firm rebuke of Russia's unjust war in Ukraine and make a call to the world to continue to stand against the naked aggression that we've seen these past several months. He will underscore the importance of strengthening the UN and reaffirm core tenets of its charter. Blah, blah, yeah,
that
blah.
Stuff, maybe that means something. If it does, it's lost on me. I feel like you could as easily say, we'll pass on the speech, as give that speech and accomplish anything. Now, if he comes out and draws a serious red line, which I think I would be for, but I'm just a disc jockey. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I think we need some firm lines here. Say, look, you can't do this, you can't do that. You're not going to use nuclear weapons. You're not going to use chemical weapons in Ukraine, or you're at war with NATO. All right? That's the deal.
Then we will force y'all out of Ukraine, and we will line up NATO troops on the Ukraine-Russia border till the end of time. If you want that, you know how to get it.
Right. I don't know.
Now, I promised you this discussion. I'm sorry. Do you have more to say on that topic?
Go ahead.
I promised you this, so here it is. Leading expert on Russia's prison system, Olga Romanova, says the Kremlin's latest recruitment tactic in the war on Ukraine is something out of her, quote, worst nightmares. The head of Vladimir Putin's shadowy private army, the Wagner Group, this guy Prigozhin, has been taking trips to Russian prison camps in order to enlist convicted criminals to fight in Ukraine. And according to Romanova, who's dedicated the past 15 years of her life to monitoring Russia's prison population as the head of the organization Russia Behind Bars, she's actually an activist with sympathies toward people who are imprisoned. Okay, keep that in mind. She says the recruitment campaign is targeting some of Russia's, quote, worst criminals. Quoting her, Putin's plan is to recruit at least 50,000 convicts, and Prigozhin, who is an ex-convict himself, has already sent more than 3,000 inmates to Ukraine, including serial murderers, robbers, and at least one cannibal.
Well, that could explain some of the how you end up with all those torture rooms. I don't know, man, did you see NBC News last night and Richard Engel being led down into the basement room that they had soundproofed? They had a guy with them who had been rescued. The Ukrainian troops came in as he was being tortured, and the torturers just took off running, so he was still alive to tell the story, but they were electrocuting him. And Richard Engel said, what were they trying to get out of you? And he said, I don't know. They would just say, you know what we want, and they would shock him.
Oh.
And he kept saying, I don't know what you want from me. He's like an auto parts dealer or something.
What they want from him is the Ukrainian people to be terrified into submission.
Maybe. But if you're releasing a bunch of murderers and cannibals, they might just be doing it because they enjoy it.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And finally, for what it's worth, and I don't know what it's worth, honestly, a Russian megastar's criticism of the war in Ukraine has set off intense reactions on social media, raising the question of whether the singer's disapproving Instagram post might mark a turning point in Russian public opinion. Now, this woman's name means nothing to me, but she is a 70-something legendary entertainer. You know, I was thinking maybe Aretha Franklin, Barbara Streisand, but she's too controversial. I mean, one of those universally loved figures. At the risk of being branded a traitor, Alla Pugacheva used her famous voice over the weekend to question the seven-month-old war, becoming the most prominent Russian celebrity to do so. Her post described her homeland, which gave her its highest civilian honors, like a Kennedy Center thing, if you will, called her homeland a pariah and said Russian soldiers were dying for illusory goals. She's been among Russia's most popular entertainers for decades. Shared her thoughts about Vlad Putin, etc. She's widely admired, as when she burst onto Russia's pop scene nearly a half century ago, older Russians who grew up listening to her music formed Putin's core and have remained largely silent about the war. She's got 3.5 million followers.
Well, on one hand, anybody mobilizing Russians against Putin is a good thing. On the other hand, I hate to continue to elevate pop stars into mattering what their opinions are on anything.
I don't want that to catch hold. Well, I feel like you're missing my point and perhaps under-egging the pudding. Yeah, I see your point. And, you know, I realize this is a serious topic, but I find myself wondering if she's ever covered the la 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 song.
By the way, there are about 200,000 Russian troops in Ukraine. If he actually calls up 300 or anything close to it, he will double the number of troops that are in Russia or in Ukraine right now.
Wow. Wow.
Literally doubling.
Going with the Stalin Soviet Union style victory. I will feed so many people into the crosshairs of your machine guns. You'll run out of ammunition.
Right. Yeah. That's rough. Any commentary? Our text line is 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Swung on that. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. He's tied the Babe. It's a Judgian blast. His 60th home run of the year. Wow.
So I wish this was getting more attention. Remember back in the steroid era when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, who in retrospect looked like cartoon characters, and how were we not only talking about how clearly they were abusing steroids? But anyway, when they were chasing the single-season home run record, it was a daily conversation. It was on the evening newscast. I remember. It was just, sure. It was part of just regular people talking about it all the time. Now a guy who isn't using steroids, number 99, ties number 3. Aaron Judge tied Babe Ruth last night with 60 home runs, and it's like not getting any attention outside of baseball fans, which I think is unfair, because here's a nice guy not abusing steroids, actually doing something pretty amazing for a sport that's been around as long as it has.
Well, one of the wacky things about human beings is if we don't have real problems, we invent them, or complaints, or that sort of thing. And if we... don't have something to occupy our attention and our rooting interests, we'll find something. And back in the day, that was before politics was the all-consuming team sport in America.
Yeah, that's our national pastime. How many games are left in the season there, Alex? Do you know?
It's like less than 15.
Okay, but so he did it inside of 154 games then. Because that always bothered me about Roger Maris beating Babe Ruth, is that he did it an 162 game season, or was it 154 back then?
It was
anyway,
154.
Okay, but so they play more games now, so that's really impressive. The other thing that Joe will understand that I found interesting. So I'm at Cheesecake Factory last night eating 9,000 calories worth of food for some reason with my son.
A Judgian meal,
and they got the Giants game on, but they switch to every at bat when Judge for the Yankees is batting there, and they go to the at bat, and he hits the home run, and blah blah blah. They put up the whole he's tied Babe Ruth and all that sort of stuff. But I thought, was that in slow motion? And they kept showing it. No, that's in real time. I see the fans moving in real time. He swings so slow. So he's one of those people. It's like people I've played golf with where they just hit it at the exact perfect spot at the right time. They don't have to swing that fast and hard. And the ball just it's like he just kind of, it looked like it was in slow motion. The ball just launched into the outfield.
Yeah, I've actually had the pleasure of playing with a handful of PGA Tour players playing golf, and it's the effortlessness of it that's so shocking.
Yeah, it honestly looked like it was the slow motion replay when he was swinging in real time.
I guarantee his bat speed is off the charts, but again, it's effortlessness. It's grace.
He's also a Giant. That's another thing it seems like would get more attention. It's not that often you see a Giant, fee-fi-fo-fum, playing a sport like that.
Odd that he doesn't play for San Francisco, and odd that we don't have a separate league for behemoths.
There has to be an asterisk next to his name because he's a behemoth.
Right.
Little asterisk, you can look down at the bottom of the page, behemoth.
Or L for Leviathan. But anyway, the point is, he's a beast. He's like Hagrid in Harry Potter. He's a monster.
Well, he's got plenty of games to get to 61. Of course, nobody even thinks about that Barry Bonds record that was set with a guy with a giant head and tiny testicles using all kinds of steroids.
Wow. And the fans start to chant, Barry.
Barry, whose berries were the size of berries. I don't know why you went there, and I don't know why I followed up. I'm not proud of it. Great stuff. Supreme Court and social media coming up.
Armstrong.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Sir, in your Philadelphia speech recently, you warned of MAGA Republicans, those who attacked the Capitol. But later in the speech, you conflated them with people who disagree with you on abortion. And I wonder if
you... No, I did not. That's a misreading of my speech.
Do you fear that speech created more division than unity in the country?
No, I don't fear that at all. I think a significant portion of mainstream Republicans know it to be true and agree.
That's interesting that that didn't make it into the 60 Minutes broadcast. That was part of the 60 Minutes Extra Large or whatever they do where you can watch portions of the interview that they cut out, because some of my right-leaning colleagues in the world of talk radio and podcasting and whatnot brought up the criticism that Pelly didn't get into that, you know, while he's talking about the state of the country and Biden being in politics for so long, everything like that. How did you leave out the fact that he called one side fascists? and then did tie it. I think Biden's absolutely wrong, or he doesn't understand his own speech. I think he absolutely conflated the idea that if you don't agree with the abortion decision, you're part of being a fascist also.
Yeah, because that was incredibly troubling. Well, I think part of the reason that was cut from the broadcast was not because of 60 Minutes liberalism, which is undeniable, but because it just didn't land. I mean, Pelly didn't really follow up. He didn't hit him with the text of the speech. It was just kind of meh.
Anyway, I think, unfortunately, I think dividing voters and playing to your side is a pretty good strategy for all politicians at this point in our history, and that is what's going on as we head into the election, the midterm election, which, by the way, is 7 weeks from yesterday. If you're a political junkie and you get off on that, absolutely fantastic. But God dang it, the amount of time that has been talked about who might win and who's ahead now, and with 7 weeks to go from yesterday, I feel like I thought it was tomorrow. The amount of talk that it gets in the punditry class, but.
Well, part of the reason for that that's legit, although I'm with you 100%. I mean, if we, like, abridged or amended the First Amendment to say, Congress shall pass no law abridging the right to free speech, except that you can't talk about the midterms until 6 weeks before them, at most. I would probably vote for that. But with the incredible voting month trend now that we have where, you know, you can vote weeks before the election, which is a terrible idea, by the way. You know, I guess it's at least semi-legit.
Point. That's a decent point. It's not 7 weeks away. Depending on where you live, it might be 3 weeks away.
It might be now. I don't even know. What's the widest, most liberal, you know, voting period in any state? I don't know, but I'm sure it's weeks.
So this from yesterday's Wall Street Journal, or recent Wall Street Journal. Independent voters now tilting toward Democrats in the midterm elections, the Wall Street Journal poll finds. So you've heard us talking about it. If you're following this at all, it looked like the Republicans were going to run away with it. And then the Supreme Court decision came out roughly the same time that Trump ended up back on the national stage for his reasons and theirs. And that has energized Democrats and perhaps suppressed some Republicans. I don't know, but the numbers have shifted. And if you look at the chart, they have been heading toward convergence. And now Democrats now have a slight edge in any of your generic national ballots. I'd say with 7 weeks to go from yesterday, who knows what other events can occur. And that's damn near 2 months, ladies and germs.
Right, and it's easy for us news junkies to forget that the vast majority of voters don't pay attention ever or haven't really started to yet. Because I, you know, with all due respect to that poll, which isn't much, I'm digging into a different poll, the NBC News poll that came out the other day that got a lot of attention. And by far, people are most critically interested in the economy and inflation. Mm-hmm. Not even close. You combine that with virtually saying the same thing, jobs or whatever. That's by far the monster issue. And Republicans poll way better than Democrats on that issue. So when it comes down to pulling the lever, keeping in mind that everybody has a binary choice in their town or their district, I'm much more optimistic about Republican chances than that poll would indicate for that reason.
If you had a static number of people that voted, that would absolutely be true. But turnout is everything, and the young people seem to be energized again, and they're getting the band back together. Hey, we get to protest Trump again. So if the young people turn out for Biden and Democrats, who knows? The most interesting part of this poll, by the way, that I wanted to even bring up at all, is how the unsure number has dropped so much from nearly 20% when they started polling beginning of the year down to single digits. So when you have a high number of unsures, you never know how an election's going to turn out. But there aren't near as many unsures as there were before. And I think Trump being involved is once again got a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I was looking at the Trump numbers as well. I resent every time I'm dragged into discussing the Tangerine Tornado. But here I go. His positives, very positive 20%, somewhat positive 14%. Okay, so 34%. His negative numbers, very negative alone, outweighs all the positives, 46 to 34. Now, did they sample enough Republicans, enough Trump fans? Trump fans even talk to pollsters? Absolutely valid questions. So, again, grain of salt, at least the margin of error, et cetera, et cetera. But you combine that number with the somewhat negative, you're at 54%. So 20 points upside down. That is a certain loss in a presidential election unless the Democrats run dead Joe Biden, the late Joe Biden, or Kamala Harris.
Well,
but so, you know, for what it's worth, and this is one man's opinion, folks. Don't get all offended or anything. One man's opinion is we find the great policies of the Trump era in a different messenger. But again, one man's thoughts. If you have those, if you have different ones, email us mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. I pledge to you, I will read your words.
I would say you're right that those numbers make it very difficult, if not impossible, to win a general election, but not at all difficult to win the nomination.
Right. Yeah, which is, to me, a troubling aspect of our primary system, as we've discussed many times.
Yeah. He's still, it would be really hard to beat if he decides he wants to be the Republican nominee. I will shut up about this after one more question, because You resent any time anybody brings him up, and I don't blame you.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Then I have one more stat from a recent poll.
Do you think he runs or not?
I don't know. I seriously don't know.
What kind of punditry is that?
What kind of question is that?
Yeah,
I don't know. So I say, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know something I don't.
You don't have any. You don't have any inkling.
If you're a new listener to the Armstrong and Getty Show, this is kind of a time-honored expression. If I had to bet in some sort of weird compulsory casino, I guess I would bet yes.
Wow.
But not with a great deal of confidence.
To me, it's about the personality. So would he enjoy being the nominee? He would enjoy being the focus of worldwide attention, certainly national attention, for, geez, 2 more years at least.
And he would relish the ability to re-triumph over all of his critics and detractors.
Bing, bing, well, so, bong, okay. Bong, bing, bing, bing.
So you're going with he thinks he could win. That's what I'm wondering. Would he be willing to run thinking I don't have a chance of winning, but I'd sure like to be the focus of everything for the next 2 years and on the debate stage with whoever it is?
Well, what concerns me is that if he lost, he would go hardcore with the it was stolen and this is a fraud, this is a banana republic, and then we could have terrible, terrible problems. Of course, I think the Democrats will do that, too, if they lose a close election and there's any plausible reason to make that claim. It's so incredibly dangerous. But people of all stripes are more than willing to put party and fundraising above the country at this point. That is why these times are so spicy.
I saw Joy Behar of The View. Why would I ever mention her?
That is crazy.
I saw her say, and the crowd cheered,
you know what would be the strongest ticket I can imagine? Gavin Newsom and Stacey Abrams. And the crowd cheered, and I thought, go do it. Do it. Do it. Where do I sign up?
What's the max to donate? I'm writing the check.
Do it. Make your wishes come true.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, the one more poll result I want to talk about. I think this is more significant than it might seem initially, because politicians are best known in their home states, and there are a number of cases throughout history where somebody gets elevated to the national stage. They're running for president or what have you, and you look at their poll results within their state, and you realize, man, they're not that popular where they know them best. I mean, like Kamala Harris, her poll numbers are loathsome in California. Why? Because Californians realized she was a moron before the rest of the country.
Wow.
Come on now.
There's no time to sugarcoat things, Jack. This is the go-go 21st century. There was just a significant poll where Ron DeSantis had a decisive victory over Donald J. in Florida.
Hmm.
So, again, oh, my God, every time I remember this, I think, oh, no, I've done it again. That election, well, the primaries are going to get well underway in very early 2023 for the general election 2024.
We'll be talking
about it all 2023. God save our souls.
And people will be announcing here right after the first of the year.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess I forgive myself for bringing it up. But that would seem to indicate that to some extent my screed about, hey, many of the same policies, different messenger, please, is gaining some momentum.
Yeah, we'll see. It's up to him whether he decides to run or not. Text line 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
That's the sound of Sherry Papini on Thanksgiving Day 2016, found by a trucker who called 911. Papini, shackled, appearing beaten and bruised on the side of Interstate 5 in Northern California.
Sweetie, listen. Listen to me. I need you to take a deep breath, calm down, and listen to what I'm saying. I have an officer en route.
Papini does not offer many details to the 911 dispatcher. Now we know the whole thing was a hoax. Papini admits she made up the story after weeks in hiding with an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, she's a whack job who made the whole thing up. But I was trying to remember, at the time when that story broke, now, where I'm broadcasting from right now in my bedroom, it was just up the road from here. So it was a big local story that turned into a national story.
Oh, everybody in NorCal, we all had our eyes out for her, and it was like, my God, yeah.
But did we suspect it was wacky right off the bat, like oftentimes happens, or was everybody just horrified that this poor woman was abducted?
My recollection is it seemed legit, but there have been some wacky cases and cases that seemed wacky that were legit as well. And so everybody was around here. Everybody was being a little cautious.
Yeah, well, it's the finality of it happened this week with the sentencing and some new video that came out that is really something.
Yeah, indeed. And in our case, audio, for instance, I'm not sure I'd heard the boyfriend say anything, but here he is describing her nefarious plot.
She had a plan. Like, she had planned this.
How do you know she had a plan?
She had to have a plan because she called me. I mean, I don't have a plan.
Yeah, she had to have a plan. She called me. I don't have a plan. I'm planless. Don't look at me for you need a plan, go somewhere else. Here's the sheriff confronting the good lady with the information about her boyfriend that they've figured out.
I know all of those things, and I know there was no sex. I know all of that because he passed a polygraph test. That said, it's not an abduction. She asked me to come here.
No.
I rented a car.
No.
I drove up and picked her up. He passed the polygraph test, Sherry.
If that's not what happened, what did happen, Sherry?
I don't know. No, there's no way it's James. There's no way. There's no way.
The DNA doesn't lie.
His DNA
was on you.
There's no way.
Okay.
So what was most interesting to me, do we have more of that? Because there, one of the wrinkles on this whole story is her poor freaking husband, who believed her story or wanted to believe her story, was sitting next to her. In the video, as she gets confronted with the facts and finally breaks and admits it, and then his life obviously changed dramatically in that instant.
And that of their children.
And, well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oof. But, yeah, you know, I'm reminded of my old buddies who was in law enforcement saying the proof that you're not smart enough to carry off a life in crime is that you're considering a life in crime. Proof that you're too dumb to pull off this nefarious plot is that you've even considered it. And you heard there, they said, look, no, the boyfriend's talked. We've given him a polygraph, the DNA. We know there wasn't any sex. And she's like, no way. Because she has no answer to any of that.
Oh, and the poor freaking husband.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. What? Give me a next clip there, Michael. This is Melanie Wingo of KCRA-TV.
James Reyes, a former boyfriend of Papini's, enlisted by Papini herself, investigators say, to help her carry out the alleged kidnapping plot.
The DNA alone says it's him. And when we talked to him and confronted him with the DNA,
he told us what happened.
He 100% told us what happened.
And gave us details that nobody else would know.
Details Reyes is heard in audio recordings explaining to detectives.
So during that 22 days, she has some significant injuries.
Yeah.
So there's a brand on her.
Yeah.
There's significant bruising. There's like, how did all that stuff come
about? I mean,
about?
She did a lot of that while she was here. I mean, she just hit herself with something, created a bruise or something. And I helped her. I mean, I didn't punch her or anything. I didn't even put hands on her or anything.
So he's a guy who got mixed up with a hottie willing to have sex with him, I guess.
Although I thought from that one clip that they didn't this time around.
Right, right. They didn't this time around. I don't know. I'd like to know more about that. I don't know if he thought, wait a second, you're too crazy. I knew you're crazy, but I was willing to put up with the crazy to have sex with you. But you're past the point of it's a good idea to have sex with you crazy. I don't know if that's what happened. And she breaks down in one of the videos there in the interrogation room with her husband sitting right next to her. And she says, all I did was talk to these guys. I shouldn't have talked to these guys. And you could see her husband's face like, oh, crap. Yeah. You're talking to a bunch of guys. And all the stories are real. You are a crazy nut job cheating on me. Fantastic. So then they get him alone and he's telling them, well, obviously, I've got some decisions to make.
Mm.
Oh,
yeah. Well, back to the boyfriend. So your crazy ex-girlfriend shows up with a fake kidnapping plot, and it doesn't occur to this person, well, you just put me in a jackpot, baby. I think I'm going to call the cops now. The minute you go to sleep or go out the house, I'm calling the cops.
Well, part of his brain was thinking that. The other part of his brain was thinking, how about one more time?
For just old time's more, sake.
For old time's sake, this will be our parting way.
Yeah, well, fellas... No.
So I don't quite understand the whole I helped her wound herself but didn't put hands on her. I'm not exactly sure what was going on there. But
he was willing to help her with her ingenious, nefarious plot. Can you find something heavy for me to hit myself with? Yeah, give me a second. I'll go to the garage. What the hell?
And they showed her bruises and brands. I mean, they're for real. You're really a nut job. You do that. I mean, like full on. Boy, her poor husband. What I wondered was, like, did he suspect she was pretty crazy and he'd been suppressing that? Or was he fully invested in she was a good person and I believe her? I wonder.
Well, where's the line between quirky and crazy? Many a lover and spouse has tried to find that line. You know,
she's so eccentric. If you miss an hour, grab the podcast, Armstrong and Getty, on demand.
Armstrong. The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask 2 people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.